Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Gimel. We are holding on Daf Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots on the bottom of Daf Gimel, Daf Beis Amud Beis. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor his wife and children, Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Savian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is that Rabbi Akiva it said in the Mishnah that in the Brisa that Edom Zomer in Mishalmin al piatzmam. So if Edom Zomer admit before we are mechayiv them, then they don't have to pay. So that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion: is whether Edom Zomer is a din in knas, whether it has a status of a knas, and what makes it, what the proof is that it has the status as a knas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Gemara is going to quote a statement of Rabbi Amarav that an Edom Zomer pays. Lefi chalko, but that's a very vague statement. What do you mean he pays lefi chalko? So we're going to have five different interpretations of what that means. And the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about a case where an Eid Zomim says that a husband has divorced his wife and owes her a ksuba, but the truth is they're not even divorced, so he doesn't owe her anything just yet. They might get divorced one day. So how do we assess what he was trying to be mechayev the husband? One day he might have to pay that exact amount of money, or he might never have to pay it, or he might. So we have no idea. So how exactly do we make that assessment? That is one of the more challenging sections of Gemara in this Masechta, really in all of Shas, is those three lines between those two Mishnayos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about how to assess a payment when they say that the loan is due earlier than it actually is, meaning there is a loan, the guy does owe the money, but instead of owing it in 10 years, which is the real conditions of the loan, they say he owes it in 30 days. So what exactly are they trying to be mechayev the fellow, or what are the Edom Zomim going to have to pay? That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion. Wait, a 10-year loan? Every 10-year loan has Shemitah somewhere in between. So does Shemitah cancel a 10-year loan? Is that going to be an automatic? Which leads the Gemara into a discussion. Can a person make a Tanai that Shemitah won't cancel his loan? Masnal Mashakasa Batorah. How would the Tanai need to be formulated in order for Shemitah not to cancel the loan? Then on the bottom of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about whether you could be Tovea payment for a loan within 30 days. There's an automatic assumption that Estal Malva'a is Shloshim Yom. Are you ever allowed to ask for the money before that? And then the Gemara is going to quote a statement of Rabbi Dom Rav about Tikkun Kli and another statement of Rabbi Dom Rav about Mikvaos that at the very end of the daf. Lots of statements of Rabbi Yehuda in today's daf, some in the name of Rav, some in the name of Shmuel. Okay, so let's begin. We are holding out the two dots, three lines from the end of the page, on daf Beis and Beis. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. So the Braisa had said that Rabbi Akiva said that Edim Zomim do not pay al piatzmam, that if they admit that they owe the money, they don't pay. My time is Rabbi Akiva. What is the basis? What's the reason for Rabbi Akiva who holds that if Edim admit in Beis Din that they had become Edim Zomim somewhere else before we were ever able to be mechayev them in din that they're putter from paying what they otherwise would have had to pay? So the Gemara explains kasavar knasahu. Rabbi Kiva holds that the entire chiv of Neid Zomim is a knas, uknas in mishalim al piatzmo, and the rule is that a knas never pays al piatzmo. Person who's moda that he's chayev a knas before Beis Din was ever mechayev him in it becomes putter from the payment of that knas. Rashi points out, we learned this from the Pasuk that talks about the Chiv of Kefel. It says, Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu, that if the Dayanim or Mechayiv him, he pays a Kefel payment. So the Gemara in Baba Kama Darshins Prat L'Mashiyas Atzmo, that if the Dayanim or Mechayiv him, he pays Kefel. But if he was Mashiyas Atzmo, if he was Mechayiv himself by being Moda, then he does not pay Kefel. So by Edom Zomim, the same is going to be true. If they were Moda, then they're not going to have to pay the Edom Zomim in payment. So says Amarabba Teda, I'll prove to you that Edom Zomim is a Knas. Shari Loa Sumaisa, nothing actually happened based on their testimony, because they there was never Gzard Din based on what they had said. Vineragim, and nevertheless, we're going to kill them if they become Edom Zomim. I mean, they said Reuven killed Shimon. There was never a Gmar Din against Reuven, and they had already become Edom Zomim. We're willing to kill them, even though there was nothing that was going to happen to Reuven just yet. Mishalmin, or if their initial testimony was about pay, was about being mechayiv someone money, and Beisin did not yet have a gemar din that Reuven owes Shimon any money, and they become edim zomin, they have to pay that money. That's obviously a knas because they didn't do any damage yet. Nothing had happened yet, so it's obviously a knas. Knas by definition means where the punishment does not correspond to damage caused. Right, when it comes mammon is that I cost you $100 by damaging your property, $100, so I pay you $100. Knas is I'm going to pay kefel or dalet vehei or some random amount that has no connection whatsoever to the damage caused. So over here there was no damage caused, so obviously it's a knas. Amar Rav Nachman, Teder Rav Nachman, I'll bring you another raya that it's a knas. Shari mamon biad bailim. The bailim still has his own money, meaning no one ever took any money from him. Umishalmim, and nevertheless the edim zomim are going to pay for having cost that money. Says Mar, my nihu deloa sumaisa hainu deraba. Wait a second. What does Rav Nachman mean when he says harib mamon biad bailim mishalmim? He means that the edim zomim did not yet do a maisa because the guy had not yet been chayiv to pay anything. There was only a gemar din, but he had not yet paid anything. Well, hainu deraba. That's exactly what Rabba was saying. So ema v'chenam Rav Nachman. You're right. It's the same point. They're both making the same point that at this point no damage was done at the point that the guy became edim zomim kasher zomim v'lo kasher asa. No damage was actually done, and yet they're going to be chayiv. That's the raya that it's a knas, and that's what where the gemara lands, that it is a knas. There's one good raya. You only need one good raya, and that's why Rabbi Akiva holds that an edim zomim is not mishalem al piatzmo. So now says Maram Rabbi Damarav. Again, the whole daf is going to be Amar Rabbi Yudah Amar, one of his rebbeim here in the. So Amar Rabbi Damarav, eid zomim shalem lefi chelko. An eid zomim pays based on his chelek in the edus. So my mishalem lefi chelko. What does that mean? So possibility number one, ilay medahim mishalem palga vayim mishalem palga. If it means that each of the edim zomim pay the nidon half of the money that they tried to be mechayiv him, and therefore between the two of them they're going to be paying him all of the money that they tried to be mechayiv him. They tried to say that Reuven owed Shimon $1 million, so each of them are going to pay $500,000. So altogether, it will be $1 million. Well, Tanina, we already know that from a Mishnah we're going to have on Daf Hamad Aleph, where the Mishnah says Mishalshin b'mamon vein Mishalshin b'malkos. That Beis Din becomes, the way Rashi understands in his first interpretation at least, Beis Din becomes a shlish. They become a third party to divide the payment of the money that the Edim Zomim wanted to be mechayev the nidon between all the different Edim. So everyone pays their portion, but they do not do the same thing by Malkus. That if they wanted to be Mechayiv the Nidon Malkus, then each one, each of the Edim, gets a full 39 Malkios. And so it's Beferish in the Mishnah that we are Mishalshin B'mamon. Now the Gemara has to bring, why does the Gemara even bother bringing the idea of Ein Mishalshin B'makos? The real Raya over here is from Mishalshin B'mamon, meaning the point is that we have a Mishnah later on that tells us that we divide up the monetary payment. So the Kos Yeshuos explains that since there's room to say that the Chiddush in Rav is that it's only by Mamon that we're Mechalik the payment, Lefi Chalko, and not by Malkus, so the Gemara says, we don't even need that. We don't even need Rav to tell me that, because the Mishnah says that also. The Mishnah not only says that we're Mishalshin by Mamon, it also says that when it comes to Malkus, we're not Mishalshin. So we already know both halves, both parts of what Rav seems to be trying to tell me. So possibility number one of what Rav's Chiddush is when he says Eidom Mishalm Fi Chalko is incorrect. We already have a Mishnah that tells me that each one pays a portion of it, so that in total they'll pay exactly what they tried to be mechayiv the other fellow. Ella, so says Gemara, Rav's chiddush must be something else. Possibility number two, kigon di itazum chad minayu to mishalim palga didei. That if only one of the edim became an eid zomim and the other one did not, the one that became an eid zomim pays the money that he wanted to be mechayiv the nidon based on his chelek in the edus. So if there are two edim that testify, the guy owes another guy $1 million, and only one of them became an eid zomim, that one pays $500,000, and the other one's off scot-free. So says Gemara, is that true though? So the first approach we said was wrong because it was too obvious. It's a Beferish Mishnah. Second approach is wrong because we don't think it's true. Umi Mishalem, does one eid who becomes an eid zomim pay his chelek? Va'atanya, didn't the Brisa tell us Ein eight zomim mishali mamun achi zum shneim. That an eight zomim is only going to pay if they both become edim zomim. Just like the Mishnah is going to say in Daf Hey that ein edim neragin achi zumu eskulam. That and the reason is because it says by edim zomim vine eight shekara eight, and the Gemara darshins and sota Daf Beis that kol makom shemar eight harekan shneim. That whenever the Torah uses the term eight, we always assume it means shneim. It means shnei edim, unless the Torah says eid achad, unless the Torah says specifically that it's one eid. So we know that you need both of them to become eidim zomim in order to be chayv zomim. Rava says, okay, third interpretation of Rav, what he means that eid zomim is mashal fi chalko, but omer eidus sheker he'aditi, that after they were the shnei eidim were made and based in on the nidon, that he's chayv mamon, there was already a gemar din that they have to pay, that the guy, the nidon's going to have to pay, one of the eidim regretted what he had done, and he was moda that his edus was edus sheker, and with that hoda'ah, he was mechayev himself as if he were an eid zomim, so then he pays the fichal kov, meaning granted, the eidim zomim are only going to be chayev as eidim zomim if they both become eidim zomim, but over here, he didn't actually become an eid zomim, he just admitted that he lied. So one of them admitted that he lied, it's ki'ilu he's an eid zomim, and he's going to pay the fichal kov. So that's a third possibility, says Gemara, also not correct, because kol kminei, can one eid be chozer on his edus and just say, I lied, I changed my mind. Kivin shehigid, shuvenu chazra umagid. That the rule is that once a person said his edus, he doesn't have the ability to go back and say something else. He's not able to retract his edus and to pater the nidon from paying. So we can't call this guy an eid zomim because he can't be mazim himself and be mevatel his own edus. And therefore, we can't be mechayev him mamon as part of a din hazama. Meaning, if this is derived from the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Im lo yagid v'nasa avono." So the Torah is makbid that the original the Torah is dafka going to pay attention to the original hagadas edus, which is that's koveya. What is his edus? Anything beyond that is no longer part of his edus. Now the lecharu we should be mechayiv him to pay mishum dina de garmi, but that's not a din hazama. His edus is kayemes and. Rav shouldn't have said eid zome mishal fi chalko. That's how the Ramban explains. I mean, if the guy is coming and saying I lied and the whole thing's not true, and okay, so maybe he does have to pay, but you wouldn't call that an eid zome. He wouldn't have to. You wouldn't label that an eid zome. Elef, a fourth possibility we have to say is baomer hayadnu vuhuzamnu bebezin ploni. That guy comes to Bezdin and he says, I and my fellow aid, we were made eidus sheker and we were already declared eidim zome. In a different Beis Din, the other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. I was never an Eid Zomim. I never told a lie. I don't know. You know, I'm as honest as possible. I have no idea what you're talking about. So the guy is the one who admitted is Mechayev himself to pay half of the money that he's claiming to have been an Eid Zomim about. His Chelik in the Eidos. But he's only believed about himself. He's not believed about the other fellow who says, I don't even know what you're talking about. We never became Eid Zomim. There was never such a story. You made up the whole thing. So says Gemara, Kiman, who is Rav assuming like? If that's what he means. Well, that's the lok Rabbi Akiva. We started the shir today by saying, Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that an Eid Zomim is never going to be chayiv based on his own admission because Eidim Zomim is a Knas, and we proved that Eidim Zomim is a Knas. Well, Rav seems to be assuming he is going to be mechayiv himself based on his own admission, that he had become an Eid Zomim somewhere else. So it seems that Rav is going against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said an Eid Zomim doesn't pay based on his own admission because it's a Knas, and Modu B'Knas is Potter, whereas Rav is saying that he's going to be chayiv. Ella, so a fifth possibility in order to make Rav fit with Rabbi Akiva, bomer ha'adnu v'huzamnu bezin ploni v'chiyavnu mamon, that he added an extra line. Not only had we become Edom Zomim in a different bezin, they were already mechayiv us mamon on as Edom Zomim. So in such a case, Rabbi Akiva is going to be moda that he's potter from paying because he's moda on a mamon at that point, because once Beis Din had turned it into a chiyuv mamon, then they're going to be chayiv. Because the whole reason Madub Knas is potter is because it says Asher Yashiyun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Re'ehu. So we dash in Prat L'Mashiyas Atzmo. But if they were already mechayiv in mamon Beis Din, so then it's already Hershiyu Elohim, meaning he's not being Mashiyah Atzmo. The Beis Din was already mechayiv the mamon, so he's not being Mashiyah Atzmo. So that's how Rashi explains. The Ritva elaborates that even though the Chiyuv Mamon was based, you know, in actuality, in the way it works out, was based on his Hoda'ah, because we don't know that he was Mechayiv Mamon and based in Ploni, other than him telling us that that's the case. Nevertheless, that's not called Mashiach as Atzmo, because Lashon Mashiach is only said by a Knas, Yarshiyu Elohim, but the Legabi Chiyuv Mamon, even though it comes through a Knas, it's not considered to be Mashiach as Atzmo. So Salkatai Techamin, I might have thought that since he does not have the power to be mechayiv the other aid, so he too is not going to be chayiv. So kamash malan, that's what Rav tells me, not true. Even though he's not neman about the other guy, he's neman about himself, and therefore he's going to pay his portion of being an aid zomeim. So five possibilities, and only the fifth possibility is correct, that the aid that the aid comes to Beis Din, and he claims that he and his friend had become made themselves in another Beis Din had already been mechayiv the mamon. The friend denies it, so the one that admits is going to have to pay his portion. Okay, new Mishnah now. Midananu es ish ploni shegiresh es ishto. Edom testified that someone divorced his wife. We saw the divorce. We were the edom on the get. Velo nasan l'ksuba, and he had not yet paid her ksuba. So based on their edus, was going to be mechayiv the baal to pay the ksuba of his wife. And then other edom came and said Imanu Yisem on that day, and we know that, and it turns out that this guy never divorced his wife, and therefore the ksuba payment never came due. So now we have to figure out how much money do they owe the Baal by claiming that he had divorced his wife and he owes her the ksuba. So Valo Bein Ayom Bein Lemachar Sofalitin L'Ksubasa, there is a reasonable chance that he's eventually going to have to pay the ksuba. If they ever do get divorced, they're going to have to pay the ksuba, meaning it could very well be that their marriage is on the rocks, right? You don't get away with saying that about people, probably about people whose marriages are perfect. It could be that he's going to have to pay the ksuba because he's going to die before she does, and the ksuba payment is going to come through. Or maybe no, maybe he'll never have to pay the ksuba. So Omdin, we have to assess kama adam rotzalitin. How much would a random person, a guy off the street, be willing to pay b'ksubasa shalzo, to pay for this woman's ksuba, which is speculative? You don't know what's going to come due and who's going to owe who money. You realize when you're buying out a position in the ksuba that if she were to become an almana or she were to become a grusha, she would get the ksuba payment. But v'meisa, if she were to die first, you're a shena baila, then money goes in the other direction. Then she wouldn't get anything, and the guy buying out her position in the ksuba wouldn't get anything, and the husband would yarshin her nechasim. So that's what the edom are going to have to pay. It's that amount of money of how much a person would be willing to to pay for her position in the ksuba. So says the Gemara, Ketzad Shamin. How do you assess that amount of money that the edom are going to have to pay? I mean, you cannot say that it's just the simple explanation of the Mishnah that they pay the baal based on what a person minashuk, a random guy off the street, would give the woman for her ksuba, because that's not what the edom were trying to do over here. The edom were not trying to cost the woman her ksuba, they were trying to cost the baal the ksuba. So it would make absolutely no sense to say that they're going to have to pay the woman's position in the ksuba, the value of the woman's position in the ksuba. So we have to say one of two things. Either that they aid and pay the baal the value that a random guy off the street would pay him for the field that's designated to pay the woman or ksuba, and the lokeach eats the payrolls from it right now, and if the husband were to die or be megarish his wife, the lokeach would have to give her that field, and if she dies prior to the husband, then the lokeach would keep that field. Meaning, how much would a guy off the street pay for a field that's earmarked to pay her ksuba, knowing that one day he might have to give it to the woman if the man divorces his wife or the man dies? So at that point, he's going to have to give up this field. Or one day, he might be able to keep this field forever because the woman's going to die first and therefore he'll keep the field forever. So it's a little less than you'd pay for a field to have full ownership of a field because you might have to give it up at some point. You have no idea when. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 50 years from now. You have no idea when, or maybe never, that you'll have to give it up. So and that's what he was really trying to be mafsa the husband. Another possibility of how to explain the Mishnah is that we value how much a lokech would give a woman for the ability to be mekabel ksuba if the husband dies or divorces her, and that amount of money the edim don't pay to the husband because that amount of money they weren't being mafsid him. That he was going to have to pay anyway. The Baal himself would have given that amount of money in order to the woman in order to buy himself out of a future obligation of the ksuba. Meaning if you take the amount of money that a person would pay for the woman's position in the ksuba, which means the amount of money that I'm willing to pay you speculatively, that I'll take your place, that if the husband ever owes you the ksuba, I'm gonna collect that payment. So the husband would pay the woman that money right now in order to never have to pay the ksuba, right? So the eidim pay the husband the difference between that and the full value of the ksuba. They don't pay that amount of money, they're between that and the full value of the ksuba. I mean, if the ksuba is 100 mana, and the woman could sell that zuchus for 40 mana, so the eidim are trying to cost the husband an extra 60 mana, because the baal would have paid the 40 mana right now, aliba de emes, to get out of that future payment. So what they were trying to cost him is the 60 mana. So those are the two possibilities. So Amar Rav Chista, Bibal. Rav Chista says, the first possibility of Nasim Roshi, Amar, Bi'isha. The second of those two possibilities. So Amar Rav Papa, Bi'isha Ubiksubasa. That yes, we assess it based on the Isha, like Rav Nasim Roshi said, but she doesn't. We don't assess the money that the Eidim would have tried to be mafs to the husband based on what he would have paid the Ksuba, nor the money that he wanted to be mafsid by the fact that he can no longer eat the peros nechse melug that belonged to her, because they could claim that we didn't even know that the woman had nechse melug, and we weren't trying to cost the husband the nechse melug, we were only trying to cost the husband the money of the ksuba. Meaning, whereas Rav Nasan Baroshi had said bi'isha, which means we assess how much the woman would be able to command for the sale of her ksuba, and the eidim pay the baal the difference between that and the full amount of the ksuba, so the eidim are really losing a lot more, because the woman would get a very small amount of money for her position in the ksuba because she doesn't have it right now, and she's not being ochel peros in the meantime, so the eidim have to pay the difference between that small amount of money and the full value of the ksuba. Rav Papa just adds, yeah, but we ignore the nechse melug when we do that cheshbon, because the eidim can claim we didn't even know that there were nechse melug that the husband is eating peros from, and we were totally unaware of that. So it's just a modified version of what Rav Nasan Baroshia says. Okay, so that's the hardest Gemara in Maseches Makos. I hope we did an okay job. So now says the Mishnah Vayter. So it says the new Mishnah. They say, we testify that a person owes his friend $1,000, and the money is due in 30 days. Vuhu Omer, and the Lova says that Mikanme Adeser Shanim, yeah, I owe the money, but it's not due in 30 days, it's due in 10 years. So what were these Eidim trying to cost the guy? The amount of time that the money, that the loan is going to be due. So Omdin Kama Adam Rotzalit and Via Briado Elev Zuz, Beinos Mikanme Adeser Yom, Beinos Mikan, Via Adeser Shanim. We try to figure out how much would a person be willing to pay to have usage of 1,000 zuz for 9 years and 11 months, right? For that extra amount of time. How much, time value of money? How much would a person be willing to pay to have that money in his account for a little bit longer? Because that's what they were trying to be mafsid this person. When your money is tied up, it means you can't do things with that money, and there's value to that. So if a person has the ability to do things with that money over that period of time, there's value to that. So I'm Rav Yidom Shmuel, Hamal Das Chaver Les Roshanim, once we're talking about a 10-year loan, so someone who lends somebody else money for 10 years, Shvius Mishamatito, Shemitah will cancel that halva'a, and you won't owe any money. And even though right now, during the Shemitah year, the loan was not yet due, meaning normally during Shemitah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of lo yigos. You're not allowed to press him for the money, even though you otherwise would have been able to press him for the money, because he already owes you the money. So Shemitah will say, you're not allowed to press him for the money, Shemitah cancels the loan. Over here, you would not have otherwise been able to press him for the money anyway. It's not due for another 5 years, right? You made a loan 5 years before Shemitah with a 10-year term on the loan. It's not due for another 5 years. You wouldn't have been able to press him anyway, but still Shemitah applies because so facile de lo yigos. Because 5 years later, he would have been able to press him for the money, and therefore the dinim of Shemitah will apply over here, and Shemitah will cancel the loan. So says Gemara, Masav Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, that's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Om din kama adam rotzi litein, you elav zuz biyado kidei litim di kam yad shoshim yom, mei litim di kam yad es rashanim, that if Edim Zomim came and said that this guy owes the money 30 days from now, and really it was due in 10 years from now, oh, so how do we figure it out? It's how much person would be willing to pay to have the money in his possession for 9 years and 11 months. But Viyam Rishvi is Mishamat, so, but if you can say, anytime you get past Shemitah, the Shemitah already cancels the loan entirely, so then, Kulunami Bayishlumadei, you'd pay the full amount, because it's going to cancel the entire loan. Doesn't our Mishnah therefore tell you that Shemitah does not cancel a loan whose term extends past Shemitah? So answers Gemara, Amar Rava, you cannot prove anything from our Mishnah. It could be that Shemitah does cancel a 10-year loan, and the Edim still do not have to pay the full amount in our Mishnah, because Hachab Mayaskinan Bimavala Mashkon, who be most assurance of the Beis Din. It's true that Shemitah would cancel the 10-year loan, but there's always ways around Shemitah. There are dinim, there are ways that you could structure a loan that Shemitah will not cancel it, regardless of the term of the loan. So the Mishnah must be talking about one of those two cases. Either the halva'a was with a mashkon, it was a collateralized loan that the lova had given to the malda, or the malda had given over the shtarus to Beis Din by writing, pashtus means this means by writing a prosbul. That's how Rashi understands. Most of the shtarus of Beis Din is the takonas hillel that we have in Maseches Gittin of prosbul. It also says that that doesn't seem that way. It sounds that prosbul and most of the shtarus of Beis Din are two different dinim. It's two different mishnayos. So Tosa says it is two different dinim. Most of the shtarus of Beis Din is a din min haTorah, that the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. And that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. Prosbul doesn't work min haTorah. Prosbul is only a takana of Hillel, that someone doesn't want to actually go and be Moser Shtros of the Beis Din. Prosbul makes it ki'ilu you're Moser Shtros of the Beis Din. Meaning Prosbul is just an institutionalized version of Moser Shtros of the Beis Din, but it allows you that ability of not actually physically going and giving over the shtaros to Beis Din, but instead writing a prosbul where you're declaring that you're being moser to Beis Din. So ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, hamalda ala mashkon, if a person either has a loan with a collateral, the moser shtaros of the Beis Din, or he'd given over the malda had given over the shtaros to Beis Din, ein mashmitin. Shmita does not cancel such a loan. So that must be the case that's going on in our Mishnah, that it would come due in 10 years, even though there's obviously a Shemitah in between now and 10 years from now, it would come due, but nevertheless, a Shemitah is not going to cancel because and the reason it would come due and Shemitah doesn't cancel is because it was structured in one of these ways, either there was a Mashkon or Moshe Shosel Beis Din. Ikada Amri, some say Shmuel a little differently, that Amr of Yidom Shmuel Hamadas Chaver Le'asr Shanim Ain Shvius Mishamatato, that Rabbi Domer Shmuel had said his original statement was not the way that we had said originally that Shvius Mishamatato, it's just the opposite, that he had said Shemitah does not cancel the loan. The Alva Gavda Asilide Lo Yigos, and even though one day the fellow will have the ability to press for his payment, Hashtamia Lo Karina Be Lo Yigos. But right now, when Shemitah comes, it's not a subject to Lo Yigos, and Mimela, the Shemitah Dinim don't apply. The Shemitah Dinim only apply when this fellow otherwise could have pressed for the money right now. Well, he cannot press for the money right now because it's not due yet. So I'm Rav Kahana, Afana Nami Tanina. And then Rav Kahana, instead of a massive Rav Kahana, since Shmuel said the opposite of what he said in the first version, it's Rav Kahana saying, ah, that's exactly like our Mishnah. Om din kama adam rotzi litein v'yelav zuz biyado bein litein mikarmi ad shoshim yom, bein litein mikarmi ad es rashanim. Then our Mishnah said that if Edim came and they said that the fellow owes the money in 30 days from now and you really owe it in 10 years from now, we assess how much a person would be willing to pay to have the money for the extra 9 years and 11 months. But if Shemitah will automatically cancel, then it should be the whole amount of money. Elamai, you must be right that Shemitah doesn't cancel it. And the Gemara says, no, not a raya. So it's not a raya one way or the other, whichever version of Rabbi Domer Shmuel you want. So Rabbi Domer Shmuel, another statement of Rabbi Domer Shmuel, Homer lechaver, if a person says, I'm willing to lend you money, al minas shelo tishamteni shviyas, al minas that Shemitah will not cancel this loan, shviyas mishameta, Shemitah is still going to cancel the loan. So they, I mean, you cannot make it tonight that Shemitah will just not operate, that Shemitah will just not cancel the loan. So they, Makasavar Shmuel, Masa Mashkas Betoruv, called Masa Mashkas Betoruv, it's no battle. Shmuel seems to be assuming that this is considered to be a Tanai against the Dinim in the Torah, and anytime you make a Tanai against the Dinim in the Torah, the Tanai is totally invalid. We ignore the Tanai. Voit Mar, but we already had a Machlokas, Homer Lechaveruv, a person says, I'm going to sell you something. I'm not shein lecha layona. Always be suspicious if a person tells you that. Right? I'm giving you a great deal, but the sale is on condition that you don't have any tainas, that I'm overcharging you, that I'm charging you. These matzahs are for $100 a pound, but I'm not shein lecha layona. That you can never claim that I'm overcharging you for it. So Rav Omer, yesh lo lavona. Rav says, you can come back with a taina of ona if he overcharged you. Ushmol Omer, ein lo lavona. But Shmuel says that Itaka works, that he doesn't have a taina of ona. So apparently Shmuel holds that Masa Mashkas B'Torah Tano Kayim. Shmuel doesn't say that the Tanai is totally ignored and invalidated because it's against the Torah. He says that the Tanai works. So how come over here when it comes to Shemitah, Shmuel holds that the Tanai does not work? So says Gemara, Ha'it Marallah, we already explained Shmuel that Amravan and Ledidi Mefarshili Minei de Shmuel. Shmuel himself explained to me that if sometimes you have a stira, like in a Rambam or whatever, so we can guess how he would have answered. But sometimes I asked the question, I spoke to him, he told me, he was Miyashiv himself, that if the Mocher says to the Lokeach, I'm selling you almanas she'ein l'cho alai ona'a, that you're not able to have an ona'a taina against me, ein lo alav ona'a. That works, because the mas al mashkas b'torah tana ukayim. But if you say almanas she'ein bo ona'a, that there isn't ona'a in this transaction, then the Tanai doesn't work, because he was not, he did not make a Tanai that he'll be mochel the ona'a, he made a Tanai that there is no ona'a, but there is ona'a, he is overcharging, so he was simply not mekayim the Tanai. So yes, you're allowed to be masa mashkas b'torah, but if the Tanai is that this transaction should be valid, as long as there's no overcharging over here, and there is overcharging, so then the Tanai is invalidated. So achinami, so by Shemitah we say the same thing, that if the Malda says to the Lova that almanas shalot shamteni bashvias, that it's almanas that you're not, that you'll return me the money after shvias and you're not going to accept the cancellation of the loan, then ain't shvias mishamatato, then Shemitah will not cancel the loan, because einochinami, you're being masa mashkas b'torah, but when you're masa mashkas b'torah to no kaim, you're allowed to do that. But almanas shalot shamteni shvias, but if you're saying that the din of Shemitah's ksafim should just not apply, well, Shvius Mishamatto. The din of Shemitah's Ksafim do apply to this loan. Because Shvius is not yours to determine whether it applies or not. I can make a deal with you that you're not going to take advantage of the Dine Shemitah. Okay, so if I won't take advantage of the Dine Shemitah, I'll pay you back the loan. That Tanai is valid, even though Shemitah should have canceled the loan. But I cannot make this general statement that Shemitah should have no impact on me. Shemitah has an impact on everybody. Shemitah has an impact on the loan. That Tanai would not work. That's how Rashi seems to learn the sugya. Tosfos has problems with Rashi's way of learning the sugya, but we have more Gemara to do, so we're going to leave that out for now. So Tana, Malas Chaver Stam in Rashi L'Tova Pachs Mishloshim Yom. If a person lends money Stam, he doesn't say a term of the loan, so you're not allowed to ask for the money back within 30 days. Sava Rabba Bar Bar Chana Kamei de Rabba Lemeimer. Rabba Bar Bar Chana thought that Hani Mili B'Malv B'Shtar, that this din is only by Malv B'Shtar. Only then we say that Estam Halva Shloshim Yom. De Lo Avid Inish, De Tarach De Kosov Shtar, Batsim Yitzlasin Yomin. Because someone wouldn't go through the trouble of paying a sofer to write a shtar unless he knew that he was going to have at least 30 days with the money in his possession. aval milva al peh. But if it was a verbal agreement with a loan, lo, then we don't say that it must have been an automatic term of 30 days. So Rav hachi amar chavivi. So Rav said to Rav Bar Bechana, this is what my uncle Rabbi Chia had said. Chavivi is the lashon of dodi. It means my uncle Rabbi Chia was Rav's father's brother. Rashi says in Pesachim Dav Dalid, it says that Rabbi Chia was also it was Rav's father's brother from his father's side, and also his mother's brother from the mother's side. So they had a funny family tree. That's why when he came and he said Abba Kayim, he said Ima Kayim. He said, why don't you ask me if my mother's alive? Ima Kayim, is your mother alive? So he had that conversation with him because he was a brother to both his father and his mother. So anyway, so he was his double uncle. So he said, he was a half brother to each. So he said, so Rabbi Chia had said, Echel amal b'shtar v'echel amal v'alpeh. Then, no, regardless of whether it's a milva b'shtar or a milva alpeh, the stam alva'a is always going to be shloshim. Tosas writes in Maseches Babas and Daf Hey that even though the Gemara says over there that if the Lova tainus to the Malva that he already paid the money before the Zmana Piron, he's not going to be Neman because Chazaka Nedim Prayer B'Toch Zmano, that's only when there was a specific time designated for the payment. But if it was just a Stam Halva, even though we assume Stam Halva Shloshim Yom, but a Lova is going to be Neman to say that he paid within the 30 days. So what we're saying is, when do we assume the loan is due? However, it could be that that just because we assume the loan is due in 30 days, it doesn't have the same din as when you identify a specific time that a loan is going to be due. So anyway, that's what Rabbi Chia held. Tanya Nami Hachi. So we have a brisa that says just like this: Hamalvas Chaver Stam. A person lends money Stam, and he doesn't say what the Zman Apiron is. Einu Rashi L'Tovo Pachs Mishloshim Yom. Echamal B'Shar VeEchamal VeHamal VeAlpe. Regardless of whether you got to wait 30 days before you claim any money. So Gemara says, how do I know Stam Alva Shloshim Yom? Amar Le Shmuel L'Rav Masna Lo Tesev Akarech. Do not sit down. I want you to stay standing. Adam Farshas LaHashmaita until you explain to me what the following important teaching. Minaha Milsa Dam Rabbanan Amal Das Chaver Stam In Rashi Tov Pachs Mishloshim Yom Echol Mal V'Shav Echol Mal Alpe. Where do they get this from? Where do they get this idea from? That is Stam Alva Shloshim Yom, whether it's Milv B'Shtar, whether it's Milv Alpeh. The Aruch Liner points out that he's Mosef Ve'echra Milv Alpeh, because if it's only by Milv B'Shtar, so then we know the reason, because Rabbi Baruch Han already explained it, because a person is not Tarech to write a Shtar unless he's going to have the money for 30 days. So if he's not going to have the money for 30 days, he never would have gone through the trouble of writing the Shtar. So he said, no, I want you to explain to me how I know that a Stam Alva Shloshim Yom, whether it's a Milv B'Shtar or whether it's a milva al peh. So Amalei, so Rav Masna said to Shmuel, the makar is a pasuk. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Korva shnas hasheva, shnas hashmita. So mimash v'shnemer, kiver shnas hasheva, en yodesh yi shnas hashmita. When you say that the seventh year is coming, do I not know that the seventh year means the shmita year? El matam lomar shnas hashmita. Why does it have to say that extra phrase, shnas hashmita? Lomar lach, to tell you, ye shmita acher shikazo. There's another way that a person is going to lose the right to be toveya his money for a period of time that one might refer to as a shana, that one might refer to as a year. So where else, other than Shemitah, do we have a year, or that which one might refer to as a year, where you're not able to claim the money that's owed to you? Vezozo, what's that referring to? Hamalas chaver stam, a person lends money, and he doesn't designate a time that the money is due. Shein rashi tov, pachs mishol shem yom, where you have a 30-day period where you can't claim any of the money. But it said shnas hashmita. It's a shnas. So yeah, because 30 days in a year is considered to be a full year. And even if you hold yom echad b'shana, chashuv shana, it's gemara rosh shana. Over here, stam alva shloshim yom, because a person would never borrow money just to pay back the next day, the Ritva points out. So therefore, we must be assuming that it's referring to 30 days. V'yamar avi damarav ha'pasech beset tzavar b'shabbos. If a person opens up the neck hole in a beged on Shabbos, chayiv chatas. He's chayiv for tikkun mana on Shabbos, for being masakin a kli. Maskevar of Kana says, why why are we chayiv him for tikkun kli? V'chima bein zel l'maguf aschavis. Why is this any different than just taking the cover off of a barrel that's sealed on tightly on top of the barrel on Shabbos? Amalei ze chibur v'ze einu chibur. He said because when you're poseach beis hatzavar, it was originally fully attached, so it's a brand new beged that you're making. Whereas poseach maguf aschavis, it was a barrel, it was a lid. The barrel and the lid was tightly attached to the barrel, but they were two separate things, and you pulled the one off of the other, and that's therefore not considered to be tikkun mana. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up with Vamar Rabbi Damarav, Shloshes Lugin Mayim. So the dinim of Mikvaos. Everyone have a good Shabbos and a good Yantif. Chag Kasher V'Sameach.